Isaiah 55, our text today, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, we pray that you would use this word now in your mighty power, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Use it to penetrate hearts and lives, to open eyes, Lord, to touch us where we need your correction, where we need your encouragement. Lord, where we need your conviction. Lord, work through your word, we pray. Lord, our prayer today is that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. The servant has offered the great sacrifice. All things are ready. The guests are invited, and nothing is demanded of them except to come. Redemption has been accomplished. We saw in the introduction and conclusion of the fourth servant song, back in chapter 52:13 to 53:12, it was prophesied that the nations, the heathen, would belong to the servant. And thus the invitation is sent forth to all that are in need to come and partake of the salvation that the Lord offers. The Lord, through the prophet, said that many of them would come to him. And so it is that our text begins with an attention-getting word in the Hebrew. It's not there in NIV for some reason. NIV ignores it for some reason. Ho! Is the cry that goes up. Ho! It's supposed to get your attention. Hey, you did look at me. It's to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because the good news, the glorious news of what the sufferings of the servant have affected, go out to the nations, to all people. Wherever there is a heart that is weighed down with sin and sorrow, the invitation is extended. The good news goes beyond Israel. It goes to the nations. It goes to the Gentiles. All are invited to come. And the only requirement is to be thirsty, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to long for the true spiritual blessing, to turn away from that which cannot satisfy, to turn away from that which cannot save. And having that thirst, they're told to come. All who thirst are to come. All that is required all that is needed to be welcome is not just the need, for all have the need, but it is also to want what is offered. To give up on self, to become dissatisfied with your own efforts to satisfy your thirst, to be dissatisfied with what the world offers, the things of the world that you have tasted, which left you still thirsty. You know, this is a blessed thirst when self and the world and all the things you try leave you still thirsty, when you're still thirsting after righteousness. This is the prerequisite for blessing. So there is repeated 3 times here the imperative, come, 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 the Lord says. You know, this verse is the equivalent to the divine imperative of the gospel, whereby people who are lost are commanded to come to Christ, and in Him alone, to find the blessings that they so desperately need and that He alone can give. What are the blessings that are offered? Well, metaphorically here, they're called water and wine and milk. Those are symbolic of rich material blessings, but even more, they are a figurative representation of spiritual refreshing and spiritual revival and nourishment. But these blessings cannot be purchased. They can't be purchased by human effort. They can't be purchased by human expenditure. They are only the free gifts of divine grace. They are the gifts of God. They are the richest of fare. And the receiving of these gifts rests on nothing but a deep sense of need and a readiness to accept the blessings that are offered. The very words here, without money, without cost, point to the fact that man cannot buy these things. Man does not have what it takes to purchase these blessings. A price was paid, however, but not with money. The cost was exorbitant. The price was infinite. The price was the blood of the servant of the Lord. As Theodoret, one of the early church fathers, said, the righteousness that is in Christ is the only money that is accepted as currency in the kingdom of God. None of your money is any good. None of your acts are any good. It is only the righteousness that is in Christ. That's a great saying by him. It's the only money that's accepted as currency in the kingdom of God. So why do so many insist on trying to pay their own way? Why do so many fail to accept the free gift that's offered, especially when they have nothing with which to pay? They have nothing of righteousness in them. They have nothing that is legal tender in heaven. So why do they insist? Why do they insist on working it out themselves? Why do they insist on counting on their own good works as sufficient payment? Why? Well, with his own question, God, through the prophet, exposes the vanity of those rejecting the free gift of salvation and seeking to work to obtain it by their own efforts. They've been the victims of a gigantic con game. They've been the victims of a scam. They have spent money on bread, but what they got was not bread. That which truly satisfies is from God. It cannot be purchased, cannot be earned, it cannot be attained by one's own labor. Yet it is there for all who will come. It is there for all who will look only to the work of the servant, to those who will look only to the price that he paid. You know, this puts me in mind of the parable of the wedding banquet that the Lord told in Matthew 22. And I know I used this illustration last week, but it is still most applicable here. You know, the king prepared the wedding banquet for his son, and he sent out invitations to come. Come, he says, for everything is ready. But many, many refused to come. And the king grew angry, and he sent out his servants to invite more. He was angry at those who were invited and didn't come, and he said, go out and compel them to come in. And they came, and the hall was filled with wedding guests. But one man failed to put on the wedding clothes that the king bought for his guests. In essence, he purchased his own clothes to wear. He bought wedding clothes to wear, but they weren't wedding clothes. And he was cast out into the utter darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so it will be for all who spend their life and their labor on that which does not satisfy. In the end, it doesn't satisfy them. And in the end, it does not satisfy the demands of God's righteousness. The way to true satisfaction is shown right here in the Lord's words. Listen, he says. Listen to me. In contrast to the wasteful spending of time and life, just listen. It's the way of obedience, the obedience of faith. If your heart will only yield to the word of the Lord, you will be drinking in the very water of life. You will be treated to the richest affair. And this is the only way. This is the only way your soul will be satisfied. You may spend your life, you may spend all you have on what the world peddles, only to find in the end that you were sold a bill of goods. Or you can listen. You can hearken to the word of the Lord, and you can truly find that which is good. So the Lord says, give ear to me, that is, listen, and come. Come to me. Hear me. Shut out all the never-ending torrent of nonsense in this world. The incessant claims, the incessant demands of the world. Do not listen to the false promises of the world, and the flesh, and the devil. Do not tremble in fear before their threats, their attacks. And notice the parallels there in verse 3. He says, give ear, listen, and come to me. Hear and live. You say, listen, hear are parallel, and come to me is parallel with live. Listen to me, the Lord says. Come to me and live. What is required is the hearing and coming and asking of the gift of life. Far more than just your natural life depends on it. But I must repeat the earlier question. Why will they not come? Or let's go back one step farther in the process. Why will they not listen? Why will they not hearken to the word of the Lord? There's life there. Why will they not listen? And the question takes on more weight when we see what the Lord promises. If you listen, if you will come, the Lord says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That is, the faithful love promised to David. The unchangeable promises made to David. Promises which point to the Messiah. The true mercies. The love promised to David and running on into the future. And to see this, to know this is what this means, all we have to do is listen to Paul, the preacher, at City in Antioch in Acts 13. Paul said, we tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. He quotes right here from Isaiah. The promise of salvation, the promise in Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of the sure promises to David. No blessings, no mercies could be certain for sinners like us, except for our sins being discharged, paid in the strictest justice. And they have been. They have. Listen to what the Lord says. The covenant promises, all the covenant promises have been fulfilled in the Son of David, who reigns forever and ever. Listen. Come to him, and you are in an eternal covenant with the Lord. A covenant of eternal life, eternal provision, eternal glory. Verses 4 and 5 in our text become clear when you take note of the tense of the verbs. Verse 4 is past tense looking back. Verse 5 is future. The promises, the mercies extended to David have been fulfilled in his reign. And they'll still find further fulfillment in the future. Indeed, enduring forever. The Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the pinnacle of the promises to David. In him they will remain unchangeable and sure forever. David had subdued nations by force, but he was also a witness to the nations as the psalmist of Israel. And he was able to say, Psalm 18:43, people I did not know are subject to me. But going beyond what was historically realized in David, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed a witness to the people, to all people. And notice it's not just people who come to him, nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you will come to him. They will hasten to you. The Son of David will call to himself these nations and peoples as members of his worldwide kingdom. They become his people. He rules over them. Nations that knew nothing of the promises of Messiah, who knew nothing of God, his law, and his revelation to his people, will come running to Messiah. Verses 4 and 5 tell us that the sure promises, the great mercies of God, go far beyond Israel. He's not the God of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And many of those Gentiles are thirsty and hungry to know, to listen, to come to God and delight their soul in the rich delights of His great love and mercy. Many of those Gentiles sit here today. But the question that still hangs over this is why? Why do so many spurn the invitation of the great King to come? Why do they refuse the invitation to enter into a covenant of everlasting life and delight with the God of the universe? Why? Why do they do that? I can only surmise that they do not recognize, or in many cases refuse to recognize, the voice of the one who cried out. You heard it this morning. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. They fail to recognize that he is the servant of the Lord, the one who gave his life for transgressors like them. Their sin and their unbelief cause them to refuse the gracious invitation. Come, he says. Come and drink the water of life. Without cost, freely given to all who will just ask. But they ignore the invitation. They turn away and they go away thirsty. The tragedy is if they continue to shun the invitation, they will one day be like the rich man in hell that Jesus told us about, who wanted just one drop of water. What a tragic turn of events. Those who refused free rivers of living water will give anything for a single drop. But it will not be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your wondrous love for sinners. Lord, thank you that as your people, this living water can flow from us through your Spirit who works in and through us as your church and your people. Lord, there are many out there who are thirsty. They look here and there. They run here and there to satisfy their thirst, to satisfy their hunger. And they come away empty. Lord, help us as your church. Help us as your people to supply that which they need. Lord, they must respond. We understand. But we must hold forth the word of truth, the word of life, the water of life to those who are hurting, who are lost. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to go forth from this place, to bring others in, to call them to come. You have given the invitation, and Lord, you give it through us now to the world. Help us, we pray. May we be faithful in that as your church and your people. And Lord, we pray for many that we know, many to whom the invitation has been given, who refuse. Lord, change their hearts. Lord, let them understand that the thirst that they have, the hunger, that hole that is within inside them, that only you can fill it. Lord, turn their hearts, we pray, that they may believe and be saved. For your further glory and honor, we pray. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. If you'll stand, please, and turn to number 334. We'll sing together. I'd remind you the chorus is...